No, Father, that we are but children, Father. We are but weak, Father, in this world. But Father, we come to you, Father, and know that you are strong. You're the one that we can look upon, Father. You're the one we can behold this morning and say that you are our everything. You are our strength and our refuge and the place we come to when we are in need, Father. And this morning we just come and declare our dependence upon you. We just declare that we are finite, Father God, and that we need you, Father God. We need you, Father, and we lay hold of you, Father. We come into your presence. We come under your wing, Father. We come to root ourselves in Christ, Lord, and declare, like, Lord, that Christ in us is our hope of glory. You are the one, Father, that has got the words of life. Outside of you, there's nothing, Lord, that can satisfy. There's no life outside of you, Jesus. We come acknowledge you as the King of our lives. We lift your name up, Jesus. We declare you preeminent. We declare you as the Lord over the storm, Father. The Lord that's over our circumstances. The one that reigns and that's got us in the palm of his hands. The one that will not release us. The one that will not let us down. In Jesus' name. Thank you, band. That was amazing. Good morning, everyone. Awesome seeing you on a long weekend, coming all the way out here. I just want to say thank you to Johan for his offering message, because it's kind of my whole sermon. I can just say amen. So, now the Lord is very faithful to confirm his word. So, yeah, I just prayed yesterday for a word for you guys. And just something in season for you. And see, Jesus, he is a God that really knows our numbers. Like, I was standing this morning in worship, and it's one of the songs just touched me. And he just knows when to speak to us and how to speak to us, and the time's right. And he will go out of his way to just come and speak to one of us. Like, he would have, the Bible says, if there was only one person in this world, he would have still died. Because he died for each and every one of us on the cross. So that's the measure of God's love for us. He will reach down from heaven. Even if there was only one person alive, he would have still come to die on the cross. So, I just want to lower this thing a bit. Okay, then I can see you guys better. So what I'm going to speak today about is this that little picture there. It's a picture of a tree. And if you guys look at that tree, what would you say is quite paramount about a tree? What stands out for you about a tree? The roots. Okay. Yes, the roots are quite amazing. And it starts where Johan spoke today. It starts with a little seed. And we'll get there later. But the heading of the sermon I have is Shaken But Still Standing, and it might not seem so encouraging, the heading, but I think, as all of us know in this life, even if you don't know God, or if you know God, all of us have been shaken. All of us have been going through storms. All of us have been exposed to life in certain ways, and most of us, even today, are exposed to life. In various storms. And the older we get, the more responsibilities we have, the more people that we have in our lives, the more we experience it, not necessarily just for ourselves, but for the people around us, because the Bible says, like, when one suffers, all of us suffer. So I found the more I've grown in the Lord and the more people I have in my life, the more I have to deal with storms, because even if it's not my own storm, I know people that go through tough things. People get sick, people die, people go through all kinds of things. And how do we actually expose ourselves to those things, keep on exposing ourselves? I was in a situation about 6 months ago where I was just invited into a home, and it was this elderly gentleman. And after about an hour of conversation with him, I walked out of there, and I really felt sad, because This gentleman is really, he's been through the storms of life, but he's just chosen not to embrace life anymore. He's kind of given up on life, because the storms just overcame him. Life, he's kind of put his life, he's got to a place, went into a place of hiding, where he wouldn't expose himself to life anymore. He wouldn't expose himself to relationships or to new ventures, etc. And that made me also think about the place that God has in our lives to make us stand up and to go on in life and actually to face life and to face new challenges. If you look at Jesus' life, wherever he went, he embraced the things that were in disorder. He actually was attracted to disorder. Wherever he went, he brought order. So he wasn't intimidated by things going wrong. He was actually attracted by it. And I feel God wants to do the same with us. He wants to make us attracted to the world out there that's broken and that's got needs and to people around us that are shaken. Okay, so this tree has got strong roots. The Bible speaks of Christians in the Old Testament of oaks of righteousness. And the image that I just have is that God wants to grow our roots to a place where, if you look at that tree, it's very unlikely that if anything hits a storm or a flood or anything, it's very unlikely that tree will topple. But imagine if that tree had just one thin little root, then you can actually imagine it falling over quite easily when a flood comes or a big wind comes. And that's how the Bible speaks a lot about nature when it speaks about our growths, and it speaks about seeds and plants and trees. And so that's what we're going to speak about today. My first scripture is 1 Peter 1, verse 6 to 7. And in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay. So here it speaks about, in this lifetime, in this dispensation we're living in, God sends trials across our path. And most of those things will actually come and test our faith, if it's genuine. So the thing I've noticed a lot in churches, when people go through trials, there's different ways that people look at that trial. There would be people that would look at them and think, oh, that probably because of something they did, there's probably a consequence because of what they did, or maybe they're in sin, or maybe they brought it upon themselves. So that's one angle of looking at it. But something I've been asking myself a lot more is, when people go through things, is it maybe the Lord that has orchestrated this thing for the refinement of that person? Because God is really interested in our characters. And you might be sitting here this morning and you might feel condemned about something you're in. You might think, it's probably because something I brought upon myself. I've probably caused this problem or this situation to come upon myself. But I want to encourage you to go and ask the Lord. Go and spend time with the Lord and go and ask Him what is really the truth of your situation. And very often, especially if we've given our lives to the Lord, He says in His Word that He holds our lives in the palm of His hand. And He takes ownership of our lives. And we sometimes don't understand what we go through, but more than likely, God is the one that's in control of your circumstance, even though it looks dire. And something that I also just, that's always paramount to me is, if I go through something, and I struggle in an area of my life, and you guys the same, if you go through something, who's the person that you would go and speak to about that thing that you're struggling to? Will you just speak to anybody, or would you rather speak to somebody that's faced that same storm before? Because anybody can give you advice, but if it's somebody that's faced that storm and it's gone through that circumstance, then it's more likely that person has authority in that area. It's more likely that I will actually listen to that person and actually seek out his advice. So a lot of times God sends storms into our lives to prepare us for lots of other people to be blessed. Okay, let's go to the next slide. I want to quickly look at the life of Joseph. I'm not going to go into detail, but most of us know the life of Joseph, where he is a young child. He had a vision of a multicolored robe, and the vision of his brothers bowing down before him. And then he went to share the vision with his brothers. His brothers got jealous with him. They didn't like the fact that his dad treated him as the apple of his eye. So they threw him in a pit and then eventually sold him to slave traders that went to Egypt. He landed up in Egypt. But the interesting thing is he had a dream in his life, and a dream that God gave him. And then in Egypt, he really went through tough things. And then eventually he became the leader. But I just summarized kind of the principal things I want to share about his life. The first thing is he had a dream from God. God spoke to him. And I believe that's what God mostly does. Even the day we get saved, God starts speaking to our lives. He mostly gives us a dream. He gives us something to do for him, or something that's going to happen in the future. Something that kind of that brews in your heart. And then one of the things that often happens, and I've seen it a lot of Christians when they get saved, especially when they're the first ones in families, there's rejection. And the rejection a lot of times comes from your own people, from your own family, from your own friends, from the workplace, from your colleagues. Rejection is almost always a given. And then what happens is you kind of feel isolated. And in Joseph's case, he was planted in a foreign country, foreign people he didn't know how to relate to. He was completely out of his comfort zone. And then God calls you to serve somebody else's vision. And that's always the pattern that will follow in our lives. God will call us to serve somebody's vision, either in your workplace or in church or where you are. And then while you're serving, if you look at Joseph, there's accusation that were false. And the Bible says that Joseph's situation was orchestrated by God. So while he was doing the best, while he was a righteous servant, he was accused. Obviously, it happened in the case of Potiphar's servant's wife, I think. Potiphar's wife, it's one of the king's servant's wife, accused him of rape. And he was thrown in prison. It's a false accusation. And then rejection in prison and despised. He was really in the lowest place. But then God, one of the things that's always also true for all of us, God puts gifts in our lives. And the Bible says the gift of the man will bring him before a king. And I believe God will give each one of us a gift, at least one, but most probably more than one. He will put something in your life that is enough for him to bring you to the place that of preeminence, of importance he wants you to be. And I'm not saying all of us are going to stand before kings, but it could be that God is just preparing you to be a good mom, and your child will one day stand before kings. He's preparing you to be the best mom so your child will be prepared, or in your workplace. But somewhere God has got something for you to do that's going to change the world. So then eventually his gift brought him out of obscurity and prison, and one day he was established as the ruler of Egypt. The Pharaoh put him in charge of all of Egypt, and then eventually there was a drought, and God gave him a plan, and then eventually his family came to Egypt. And if he wasn't the ruler of Egypt, then the whole known world at that time would have perished because of hunger. So that's kind of the picture that gets painted in his life. And then if you look at the next slide, it speaks in Genesis 50 verse 19 to 20. And this is now after his brothers came to know that he was actually the ruler of Egypt, and they were afraid, and they thought he was going to have revenge on him. He said, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? And you intended evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to make it as it is this day, to keep a great many people alive." So the case I want to make is that, as that tree you saw with the big roots, what with Joseph's situation, the dream, and the persecution, and the suffering, and the hardship, all of that brought him to a place where he can be used by God to bring forth a lot of salvation. And that time it meant people's lives, but it also is kind of a parallel to Christ's life and to our lives as Christians. How the preparation in our lives is always conclusive to the fact that God wants to bring lots of people to salvation through our obedience. And then there's a quote that I recently read from David Livingstone that I'm just going to read to you guys. And he said, and God used him to kind of bring the gospel into Africa when nobody else was willing to go. And he went to places that no one else went before him. And he said, this one thing he said, that was his statement for life. He said, God, send me anywhere, only go with me. Lay any burden on me, only sustain me. And severe any tie in my heart except the tie that binds my heart to yours. See, what a lot of times what gets us in life is circumstances. But if our hearts are tied to God, and if our hearts are tied to His leading, then circumstances will start to diminish in the face of God, like we sang that song of seeing God's face. And that was kind of his slogan for life. And he just went. And still today we see the fruit of that one man's ministry. Okay. So, let's just go to the next slide. Mark 4 verse 30 to 32. So we're just going to look at a tree, and I'm just going to kind of break down what a tree looks like, and then just use some scriptures. And Umbyan brought a great one this morning, just about the seed that's sown. And here it's a parallel to that. Mark 4 verse 30 to 32. And he said, to what shall we compare the kingdom of God? Of what parable shall we compare it? Is it like a grain of mustard, which when it's sown on the earth, it is lesser than all the seeds of those on the earth? And when it is sown, it comes up and becomes greater than all the plants, and produces great branches, so as to enable the birds of the heaven to roost under its shade. And it speaks of the smallest seed, one of the smallest seeds that you can find. And then it becomes this massive tree. So it just speaks of a place of faith, place of small faith, small beginnings. And all of us begin somewhere. And that's where God wants us to stay, is in a place of faith, trusting God to be of influence beyond ourselves. And lots of times God sows seeds into our lives, like I know in my own life, where God spoke things to me, like I'm standing in front of you now preaching. When I was at school, I grew up in a home where my mother was Afrikaans and my dad was German. And I went to Afrikaans school, but it was a very traditional Afrikaans school. So because I was half German, I was kind of relegated to the side of it. I didn't have many friends and things. And I was always very nervous of speaking in front of people, and my home was quite broken. So when I got saved, one of the things that God spoke to me is he said to me I was going to be a leader and I'm going to speak in front of people. You know, that was something that really intimidated me. I thought that's really just impossible. That's something I don't want to do. But yeah, I'm standing here in front of you guys today. And that's kind of the same for you. You might think you're insignificant or you can do nothing. A lot of times the seed that God sows in your life will be the things that are completely contrary to what you think you can do. We're completely contrary to the things you think you're unable to do. Because God's seeds are eternal seeds. They're divine seeds. They are things that He waters and He brings to pass. So the fact that I'm standing here, it's not my own doing. It's God's doing. And that's where I want to encourage you today. It's God has got a plan for your life. And be open to those seeds. Be open to the contrary ideas that God will bring to you. The things that sits in your heart that you don't understand necessarily. But it's good. The one pastor that often comes and preaches here from America at Shofar Church is Courtney Becker. I don't know if you guys ever listened to him, but one of the things that he once said that really stirred me, he said, when there's always going to be a love and hate relationship and the thing that God calls you to, you're going to really want to do it, but there's going to be something in you is going to really want to do it, and something in you is going to really be afraid of it. So if that's there and God has put a dream in your heart, don't neglect that. Pray about it and ask God to confirm to you that which He wants to do in your life or through your life. Okay, and interesting truth about the mustard seed is it's able to grow in quite arid places with little water, and it's able to extract nutrients from surroundings when other trees can't. So it can actually survive where very few trees can, because it's got the ability to extract nutrients where other trees can't. And that's kind of a picture of us as well. When God puts his imperishable seed in us, we can go through to circumstances that other people can't. We can be in circumstances where there seems to be no hope, and God can bring forth something glorious in our lives. Are you guys excited? Cool, awesome. So I want to encourage you, even if you have been an object of like Joseph was, where his brothers didn't think his dream was true, it's possible, and your life has maybe gone a route that you don't understand, and it looks all like impossible. Hold on to the dreams that God puts in your heart, and bring those dreams back to Him. Like God has given me some dreams since I was about 20. I only got saved when I was 22. And God has given me some dreams. One of the things was when I just got saved, I used to be quite a nerdy person at school. I didn't do any sport or anything. One of the dreams God gave me was to cycle. So that's a dream I just took up and I started cycling. And I really did dwell in that. So God just brings things across our path, and then He gives us the faith and ability to do things that we haven't done before. And so I can tell you many testimonies. I grew up in a fatherless home, and now I'm a father of two children, the third one coming. And I've got confidence that I can be a good father, because God has put it in my heart, and He's a good father to me. And I want to encourage you, just go and ask the Lord what He thinks of you. Ask Him, what is that dream that He's got before you, the thing that He wants you to do that's great and mighty. Okay, next scripture. It needs care. John 15, verse 1 to 5. I'm the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And everyone that bears fruit, He prunes it, so that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean to the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it remains in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So, like a little tree needs water and nutrients, our sustenance comes from our time of God, our time in the presence of God. And the scripture speaks of, He's the true vine, the dream is from God, and for the dream to live, we need to stay rooted in God, and even for the dream to come forth. And sometimes God gives you a little picture, and the picture only grows as we spend time with Him, as we're rooted in Him, as we rely on Him, as we trust Him, as we put our hope on Him. And mostly, all of our dreams will be impossible in the natural. It will be dreams that are only possible if God makes it come to pass. So if the thing you want God has put in your heart to do is bigger than yourself, then it's possibly from God. If it's something you can do in your own strength, it's possibly not from God. So I just want to encourage you in that. If you're facing Goliaths in your life and you're facing big things, that's good, because then God can do something about it. He can do a miracle. Okay, so storms doesn't mean we are lesser Christians, like I said in the beginning. Leaves, like the picture of a tree, what happens to that big tree, the tree I showed you initially, what happens when a big stream big storm comes, and a big flood, and a big tornado comes? What does the tree look like afterwards? All the leaves on the tree are off the tree. So the tree looks quite vulnerable. The tree looks like it's not doing very well. But you know what? Nothing happened to the roots while that storm comes. Those roots are still healthy, and they're still rooted into its source, into the nutrients, and into the water. And that's what we must remember when the storms come, when things get difficult. As long as we stay focused on Jesus, like that song we sang earlier, and behold Him, we might look a bit weary for the circumstances. Doesn't mean the circumstances doesn't affect us, but God is at work deep inside. We might look a bit weathered afterwards. The tree might be gone, and people might be thinking, might be saying even, "For this poor guy has gone for a beating. He looks a bit weary." But as long as we keep our eyes on Jesus, that's what's important. And keep the dream alive. Keep on petitioning God for that which He said in your life. Okay. Second scripture, Ephesians 6, verse 11 to 13. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. So sometimes circumstances come, and if you look at Joseph's life, it was quite tough, the things that he faced. What Scripture is saying here to us is when those things come, sometimes you cannot fight it, sometimes you cannot too much about it. But put on your armor. And the armor, lots of times, speaks just about remaining in the vine. It speaks about the helmet of salvation. You're saved. You're righteous through the cross. You've got the word of God abiding in you. You've got the shield of faith. And you must do all those things. Put those on. But in the evil day, even if you've done all it says, is to stand. And I've had many times in my life where I really felt, okay, now things are looking hopeless. But that's the time where you need to stand. Don't regress. Don't allow the enemy to get you off the place where you put your hope in God. So keep on hoping in God and standing. Make a decision that you're going to stay standing if the enemy comes, and if storms come, and if God sends circumstances across your path. Okay. Isaiah 61 is 1 to 3. So now we're coming to the exciting parts of it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. See, this is the place where we become fruitful. See, that tree is meant to bear fruit. That tree is meant to become fruitful in the right season. And I'll show you another scripture later where God wants us to bring us to a place to be of being continually fruitful. And that's the thing, that small seed, that thing that needs to die. Sometimes a dream has to die before God can bring it forth. And it's like when your hands share it. Sometimes you come to a place where you don't see any more fruit. And then what God requires of us is just to give it to Him, to give the dream back to Him. To say, God, I cannot make this thing live. I cannot bring this dream to pass. But if it's in your hand, it will live. And a good analogy, or good, not analogy, a good truth is, if you just go look through the scriptures, if you look at all the patriarchs of faith, if you look at Abraham, his dream was to have offspring. His dream was to have children. And that looked impossible because he was old, his wife was old. And then eventually God did bring forth, after he did it in his own strength and brought forth Ishmael, which speaks of the flesh, trying to do it in his own strength. Afterwards, he brought forth Isaac, which is the son of the promise. But then, after a while, God asked him to give him back Isaac. And that's kind of the parallel with what Wim Johan shared today. That's kind of a place where God is giving you the dream, you're already walking in it. And God says, even though I've given you this thing, or even though I've brought it to this place, I want you to give this thing back to me so that I can multiply it. And every time we give things back to God, every time we leave it in His hands, every time we enter into a place of rest where we trust Him, every time God can multiply. And that's sometimes the most difficult things for us. When God has given you something, you've worked so very hard at it, to just let go of it. And God will, in many seasons in our lives, He will come to us. Even if we've worked hard at something, and even if something has been very fruitful, He will come to you and say, I want you to give this thing up so that I can multiply you somewhere else. And that's something God has been speaking to me quite often. It's like we sometimes invest emotionally in things so much that we think we actually own that thing. We actually deserve to own that thing. But God always wants us to be willing to give up. And that's what Abraham knew, God's promise, that he was able to keep his promise. So even the Bible says, God asked him to sacrifice Isaac, Abraham believed that God was able to resurrect Isaac. And that's kind of also just a picture of, if God asks you to give something back, and but He's giving you a dream, then you must also have faith that He can resurrect that thing. And resurrection speaks of something from nothing. So that's faith. That's a miracle. Okay. So God wants us to make fruitful, to reach others. Psalm 92, verse 12 to 15. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are full of sap and green. To declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Isn't it wonderful that God has called us to bear fruit all of our lives? Like we have a debate in South African culture that that you work till you're like 50 years old and then you go retire and you sit in a house somewhere in nice snow or somewhere. And that could be part of what God calls you to, but He didn't call us to be the place where we don't bear fruit, where we don't influence other people's lives, where we don't see promises and dreams come to pass in young people's lives and older people's lives. God wants us always to position, and the part I underline there is they flourish in the courts of our God. That's a place where we position ourselves for God's blessing, where we position ourselves for God's promise. And that's always a challenge for us. Where are you at the moment? Where have you positioned yourself? And have you positioned yourself here to bear fruit, or are you only passing through? And I often find people that don't progress to the next level are sometimes when we haven't made up our mind to plant ourselves, to position ourselves for a season or for a time. So even if God sent you only for a season, it's important for you to plant yourself, to commit yourself in that season if you want to see God's fruits in your life. Like even if you look at Jacob's life, even when he went to prison, and he was planted in prison, the Bible says that within a very short time, he actually committed himself to prison. Within a very short time, he was the leader in prison. The guards entrusted him and the care of all the prisoners to his hand while he was a prisoner. So he didn't look at this time in prison, okay, this is not going to be a year that I'm here, or 2 years, or 5 years, and I'm just going to wait it out till my sentence is finished. Now he said, I'm here. If I'm here, God has put me here, and I'm going to commit myself with all of my heart. And there you see the fruit. Wherever he went, God made him fruitful. Out of our perspective, we think he was in prison. But he wasn't actually, in God's perspective, in prison. He was in God's perspective, he was in training school. In God's perspective, he was in a place of increase. He was increasing whilst he was in prison. He was bearing fruit. Is that encouraging? Okay. So, Jeremiah 17, verse 7 to 8, next slide. Blessed is the man who trusts in Jehovah, and this is the modern King James Version, and in God is his trust. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. It sends out its roots by the river, and it shall not fear when the heat comes, but its foliage shall be green, and he is not worried in the year of drought, nor will he cease from yielding fruit. It is once again that place of being contrary to the world. It's a place of being in a desert. Like sometimes the mere fact that you are having a dream from God and you've been progressing. If you look at Jesus' life when he was 30 years old, he was sent into, just after he got baptized, he was sent into the desert. So the desert for him was a place of promotion. In our lives we sometimes think when we go to the desert it's a demotion. But God was promoting him. He was training him, and he was just before the most amazing ministry ever seen in this world. He went to desert. And that's a place, after Jesus came out of the desert, he was fearless. He bore fruit wherever he went. And that's sometimes for us, our biggest deserts is working inside of our lives, a place where we become fearless. Because we face the desert, we face the evil one, we face the most difficult thing that God could orchestrate in our lives. And we've come through it, and therefore we can bear fruit in wherever we go. Okay. Second last scripture. I'm going to read Isaiah 60, verse 20 to 22. And this speaks us about the promise of those who are called by God's name, and those who persevere. Your sun shall no more go down, nor your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended. Your people shall all be righteous. They shall possess the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. The least one shall become a clan, and the smallest one a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time I will hasten it. So it speaks here of just the roots eating deeper, and that tree growing so that its foliage becomes so big so that many can find cover in its shade. And it's like that for each one of us. It's like you might think you are a small congregation, or you might think your family, you're the first Christian in your family. You might be thinking in your workplace, you're the only Christian there. But God says if we're going to keep the vision, if we're going to keep on persisting, there's going to be a time where the balance changes. There's going to be a time when God changes the playing field, and where things are going to change to a place where we will see. And isn't it exciting that if you look at Abraham, he had a dream of the nations, and he only saw Isaac. But the reality is God promised him the nation, and it's a lot of times with us like that as well. God gives us a dream, but that dream will be a dream that's not just for this generation. And what I find in our lives, in this generation, this culture, we kind of live just for our own generation, for our own time here on earth. We actually don't think further than the present generation. We live in a McDonald's one-minute meal kind of situation. But God is calling us to have a vision for many generations ahead of us. That which we dream for now, that which we see in faith. It's like the scripture, that quote I read for Livingstone. One of the things that Livingstone said is he saw nations in his spiritual eye worshipping the Lord. He saw revivals in nations. But you know, Livingstone lived his whole life in Africa on his own, going around. He had a few converts wherever he go. A few people get converted. But you know, the seed of his faith is still living out in Africa now. There's nations in Africa that has revivals. He saw big one of the visions God gave him was in Livingstone. He was quite active in Zambia and in Zimbabwe in his ministry. And the place where Livingstone is today, he saw the revival that was going to be there when Rana Bonke visited Livingstone. That's what he saw in his spiritual eye. That's kind of the ground he broke. And that's what I want to encourage us all tonight or this morning is, what has God placed in your heart? Where is God speaking to you? And as the band comes up, I'm just going to ask us all to just sit and meditate on the Lord, and then we're going to play a song. And let the Lord just minister to you. I'm going to trust for the Lord to just speak to you regarding the seeds He's planted in your heart, and just regarding this whole place where He is busy growing us. He's busy stretching His roots. He's busy pruning us to just do something glorious. So if you can just play that song. Yeah, just open your heart to the Lord and just focus on Him and listen to the words. It's quite cool.
I want to build you.
Yes, Lord, we want to come before you this morning, and Father, we just want to offer our hearts to you, Lord, and want to say, Father, that we want to build your garden, Lord, and we want to become like those trees, Father God, that are deeply rooted in Christ, Father. We want to be rooted in that which gives life, and not just for ourselves, Father God, but we want to be fruitful, Father, to give to many, Lord. And Father, this morning we come and recognize, Father, that for us to become fruitful, it means you need to orchestrate our lives, Father. You need to sometimes take us to circumstances for our roots to grow deeper, Father. You need to do a work, Father, in our lives, Father, of growing us up, Father, of making our roots grow deeper, so that we can stand in you, Father. And even sometimes you send a storm across our lives, Father. Sometimes you send a flood, Father. I thank you, Father, your word promises, Father, you will never leave us or forsake us, Father. You will never let the evil one have preeminence over us. You will never let the evil one be able to separate us from you. Your word says nothing. Nothing will separate us from your love, Father. So this morning, Father, we just come and ask you to give us eyes to see, Father. You come to restore our hope, Father, in the plan that you have for us. Father, I pray you would come and restore dreams, Lord. Father, you would come and give us perspective, Father, through our life circumstances, Father. You would come and revive in us, Lord. There's a zeal and a hunger, Father, to see the nations come to you, Father, to see our lives becoming effective, Father, so that we can even bless the next generation, Father, so that we can leave a legacy, Father. And Father, this morning we pray, Lord, that like Abraham, Father God, you would stir in our hearts this is our hunger to leave a legacy, Father, to leave something behind that's bigger than ourselves, something that's of eternal value, something that's come forth, Father, from God, something that overcomes this world. If you're here this morning, I just want to just offer opportunity. If there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, if you're not rooted in Christ, and you want to have this life of going through storms and knowing there's somebody that loves you that's bigger than the storm, somebody that's above the storm, somebody that's in control, even though the storm rages. If you want to have a relationship with that person called Jesus Christ, which is also God, if you want to have a relationship with him today, you don't have that already, just by a show of your hand, I'm just going to pray with you and going to trust the Lord for you to enter that relationship. Is there any such a person? Just be bold and just say to the Lord, I need you. I need you in my storms. Just going to give you a few seconds to think about it. Then I'm just, is there anybody that wants to commit their lives to Jesus? Okay. Then I want us to just turn to each other like two people, preferably somebody that you know, somebody that you're accountable with. And then just share with that person what God has been speaking to you. If there's a storm in your life that has kept you away from God's dream and promise for your life, and you have felt kind of, it's impossible to go on from here. It's impossible to overcome the storm. If you've lost your hope in God, you lost your hunger to just pursue that dream, I want you just to pray for each other. And if there's anything that God spoke to you today, just pray for each other and let's trust the Lord to restore our strength, to restore our position in God. And if you feel you've lost your place in the vine where you're rooted in God, even if you feel you've held on to the dream and God is asking you to to give it back to Him. Give your Isaacs back to Him. If any of those things are true, just turn to somebody that you know and just pray with them. And I'm going to just close the service there. Is there anybody who wants to speak to me afterwards? You can come and chat with me as well. I can pray for you if there's any need for prayer. But let's just become serious before the Lord. And just even if you don't have a dream, that's also good, because God will give you one. So let's just pray for each other that God will stir up those dreams in our hearts and that He would establish us, strengthen us. Thank you, everybody. Cool, let's do that.